Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
That's what we call ecumenical movement, and it's a love and a unity at the expense of truth. But Jesus prayed to the Father in John 17:17, sanctify them, set them apart on yourself through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You're either standing on the only island that's going to survive, truth, or you're going to be washed away in the judgment into eternal damnation. We cannot have unity at the expense of truth if we're true disciples of Christ. Truth and true doctrine divides the chaff from the wheat, divides those that are true and those that are false. Jesus said this. He told us who was of God and who was not of God, quote unquote. I want you to really write down this verse and memorize it. Put it on an index card with the reference. Might as well get the reference in there. And it's John 8:47. Jesus said to the religionists of his day, and believe me, if you can hear my voice, they were much more religious than you, and they didn't know Jesus. He said, he that is of God hears God's words. This brother right here, Sean, heard the word of God and hearkened unto the truth and realized his love was not a true biblical love through the truth. It was emotional. So he decided to go God's way. He that is of God hears God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Those that will hearken unto God's word and change their ways to conform to the word of God are of God. All of us have correcting to be done in our lives. Am I right? Whom the Lord loves, He does what? Correct. Happy is the man whom the Lord corrects. You know, this happy gospel. You want to get happy? Let God correct you and chasten your life. Job 5:17-18. Anybody, including this compact center here in Houston, that teaches to be joyful and happy outside of the cross is a false teacher. How shallow can we be to buy into that? That's the most obvious false teacher in the nation, leading astray with a smile, because he won't preach the word of God. He's going to tell you how to be happy and joyful and successful outside of God's way. He's going to siphon out, cherry pick certain scriptures and paint a picture and write his own message and memorize it, instead of just memorizing God's word and preaching it by the power of the Spirit and the leading of the Holy Ghost.
But I'm reminded of Noah, who kept telling everybody the wrath of God was coming. Nobody believed him. They were going about their own daily activities of marrying and eating and drinking, etc., and enjoying the earth. And he kept saying, you know, it's time to get ready. The flood's coming. And nobody listened. And then the flood came, and he warned them, but they didn't listen. The same flood that destroyed all living beings on the earth is the same water that lifted Noah and the eight souls on that ark to the mountaintop. That's the cross.
Yes.
That is the cross. The flood is a type of the cross. If you accept it and enter into it, you'll be deposited in the heavenlies in union with Christ. If you reject it, you will be destroyed and submerged in death.
That's good, brother.
You mentioned those false prophets, and the one in Houston, since that's so close, there's an issue of Texas Monthly, so this is in writing. Same. So I'm calling in the brother's hand, Joel Osteen, and he was being interviewed about, and the guy says, so you teach this message of prosperity and wealth and that, and a lot of people have issues with that. This was his answer. I might miss one word, but he says, everyone in the scriptures, this is Brother Osteen, that was prominent, was prospered financially by God. Now, I'm telling you, the reason I brought that up, and I'm through, is that people out there, if there's somebody listening or anybody here, folks, we got to be warned. Financially prospered? Come on, Job, Jesus, where are you? Tell me when to stop. Paul. Let's go down the line. Yeah. Any of the disciples financially prospered?
It's ridiculous.
People run, man. Find you a church where truth is taught. It says in John 3, little bitty book, I have no greater joy than seeing my children walk in truth. See, ignore it doesn't say walk in prosperity or financial success or riches or whatnot.
You mentioned a verse, Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Now, Paul wrote that and he used the word spoil. Now, let's just rewind just a little bit and go back to the Old Testament. What did they do after a war? Think about it. What did they do with the spoils? They carried them away. And so what he's saying is, don't let anybody carry you away in philosophy and vain deceit and not after Christ. He says, be careful. Don't let anybody carry you away like they carry the spoils from a war away. And that's what they're doing. They're carrying us away into something other than Christ. And now look at the results of what we see. We see a church that's inundated with running after the things of this world. Pastor Fields asked me last week, he said, you know, we really don't really truly have love one for another. We don't even walk in love. We don't even understand that. You know what I told Pastor Fields? I said, you know why we truly don't have love for one another? Because we won't die to self. There's no love. The Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by what? The Holy Spirit. And for us to truly walk in love, we have to truly walk out of what? Self. So he says, don't let anybody carry you away like they carry away spoils from a war. We're not things. What do people do with things? They use them. We are not things. We are people. And you don't use people. That's what the scripture says in 2 Peter, right? They make merchandise of you. When they see us, I heard a preacher say where I used to go, IV Hilliard in Houston, Texas. We were sitting in a meeting. I'm in a staff meeting. I heard him say this. He says, when I get ready to do a project, I look out to see how many people I need to get this done. So what he says is, I figure that if I have a project that's $500,000, I need so much to give each, I need so many people to give this dollar amount. And so what I saw, I'm sitting in a meeting and somebody else told me, another staff member, I said, did you hear what he said? She said, yes. He said, all we is dollar signs, not people of God. Not worried about that. He's worried about fulfilling his dream and not fulfilling the word of God and what it says to. So he sees us all as numbers. So every year around a certain time, twice a year, he put us these little pledge cards out. I need 5 people to give this. I need 10 people to give that. I need 20 people to give that. And then all of his messages are what? Focused that way. It's not focused on the truth. So we have to be careful, people. We need to trust the word of God at all costs.
We've got a book called Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us. You can find it on safeguardyoursoul.com. If you're wondering and you're nervous about naming names, well, it's time to be transformed in our thinking. The Bible says in Romans 16:17-18, mark them. It's the same Greek words we saw earlier about marking true teachers, which are very few, the Bible says. Mark those that cause division contrary to the doctrine, contrary to the biblical truth, doctrine of Scripture. This is Romans 16:17-18. For they with good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Mark them. That comes from the Greek word skopeo, S-K-O-P-E-O. It's where we get the English word scope. Put them in the crosshair, call them out, name them by name so the people can be protected. Let me ask you something. If in your community, wherever you live, there was a certain aspirin that was killing people, and they came on the 6 o'clock news tonight and said, well, 14 people have died this week by a certain aspirin that they've been buying at your local drugstore, but we don't want to be judgmental, so we don't want to tell you exactly which one it was. How many people you think would be at that TV station beating them doors down, demanding? How naive can we be? We supposed to have the light of God. How much more should we be intent upon specifics? Paul named 8 names in 4 chapters. The book of 2 Timothy is 4 chapters long. You can find 2 deceivers named per chapter. We've got an article on the website, safeguardyoursoul.com. Click on articles and you'll find an article titled, Naming Names, Is It Biblical? It absolutely is. But you study it in the Word for yourself. Paul was absolutely intent upon protecting the church. How many people know that we're to be under shepherds? If you love me, feed my sheep. And one of the things that being under shepherd, Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep, Hebrews 13:20, but he sent us to be under shepherds, to be disciplers, right? To make disciples. 2 of the things that an under shepherd, any shepherd does, is feed and protect. Picture a shepherd out on the pasture with a bunch of sheep. First thing he's doing is leading them beside still waters and to have good green grass, right? Psalm 23 imagery. And then also he's looking out for the wolves, and he'll tell you the exact vector geographically of where the wolves are. He'll identify them to keep his sheep protected from being devoured. If you walk in true love, then you care about protecting God's sheep. Any other love is a false love. Notice chapter 20 of the book of Acts. Let's look at the Apostle Paul and who we are to follow as he followed Christ, right? Did we just read that in Philippians 3, 17 through 21? Notice in verse 20 of Acts 20, and how I kept back nothing. He's talking to the Ephesian elder. How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shown you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. We need a 2020 vision, and that is the full counsel of God being disclosed. And that's never going to come through one person, but hopefully a plurality of elders. But our endeavoring goal, according to scripture and mandate, is to preach the full counsel of God, of the original gospel. How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. If somebody is not endeavoring to preach the full counsel of God, that's not obeying the Lord. And unfortunately, when a person is doing that, he's pigeonholing people into narrow-mindedness and limiting them in the gospel. Notice verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repent and swore God in faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might, notice Paul was on the cross, right? Neither count I my life dear unto myself. He loved not his life unto the death. Therefore, he was blessed to be an overcomer. Revelation 12, 11, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Verse 27, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. You should cross-reference verse 20 and 27. Paul sought and did not shun to declare all the counsel of God, the full counsel of the original gospel. Notice 28, Acts 20, 28. Take heed, therefore, tells these Ephesian elders, take heed therefore unto yourselves. That's the first command. That's what Jesus commanded us, to take heed to yourself. Luke 21, 34. You can't lead anybody where you're not willing to go yourself, right? You can't lead anybody into a depth by theorizing about it, but by living it and walking it. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, first of all, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, and feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Let them become so familiar with the true that they notice the counterfeit when they see it. Right? Preach the word, right? 2 Peter 4, beginning of verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and it is come, by the way, worse than ever in our day, that men will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And that's why the mega churches are so full, because people don't want to hear the message of the cross. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. I used to think that only dealt with the law. It specifically, actually centrally, deals with the saved, because the book of 1 Corinthians was not written to the lost, it was written for the saved. The preaching of the cross is to those that are perishing. They're going to hell. Foolishness. They are enemies of the cross of Christ. Anybody that doesn't center his gospel around the blood of the cross, first of all, and that he told you to take up your cross, deny yourself, is a false teacher. And he's the enemy of the cross of Christ, and it identifies him as one who is perishing in 1 Corinthians 1:18, verse 29 of the book of Acts, verse 20. Chapter 20, verse 29. For I know, Paul said, this, he knew this, that after my departing, when he leaves Ephesus, shall grievous wolves, what did he call them? Did I make that up? No, grievous wolves. What do wolves do? They devour lambs and sheep. They're going to enter in among you. I don't bother with the Catholic Church and the Mormon Church anymore, Jehovah's Witnesses. They're obvious cults. It's the infiltration into that which calls itself of Christ in our evangelical churches that is a full-time job. You notice that? There's a enough and more than enough to be exposed as false right in our midst. He said they're going to enter in among you, not sparing the flock. How many people got? No, God loves his people. We are the precious fruit of the earth. James 5, 7 through 9. We are the apple of his eye, he told Israel.
It says also of your own selves. It does not combine own selves. It sets selves apart, bringing to light the self-life. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. He's speaking to Christians there. He's speaking to believers, yes, and saying that if you continue to live the self-life, out of you will come.
That's good. That's good, Brother Trice. Verse 31, therefore watch, he tells the overseers, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. A true under-shepherd, an overseer that is truly walking where the Lord would have him and is not perishing, is what? He's passionate about protecting the flock of God. Do you see that? Paul cried 3 years, day and night, knowing prophetically that false teachers and false teachings. We're going to rise up among them and take souls, carry them off as booty for Satan, if you will. B-O-O-T-Y. It's a King James word. You might want to go research it. So he says, watch therefore, remember that Paul, as he followed Christ, right? By the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. I want to ask you, when's the last time you cried about a believer that was being deceived?
Todd, these things are shocking as we read the Bible. People have gotten away from reading the Bible, and the Bible's not preached. So when we hear the hard truth of the Word, it is shocking to our ears.
Do you think that people are being deceived because they're not in the Word for themselves?
Absolutely, no question about it. And the devil has taken this doctrine of love and he has shut down the gospel.
It's a false love, isn't it? Absolutely. Like Brother Sean was sharing, it's a total false love based on emotions and not on the love of God. You cannot separate God who is love from God who is the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth and he's also the love. All love emanates from him. But love, if you break into a man's house because he loves his children and his wife, he is going to take you down, and that's going to be because he loves his family. He's going to slay you and you deserve it. And that's the same thing with God. You mess with his people, you become his enemy immediately. Verse 32, what's the solution? The Lord always gives us a solution. Now, brethren, I commend you to God. You better have a personal relationship with the Lord. You better know that you know that you know him and he knows you. And going to church a couple of times a week, it doesn't mean you know him. You can have a form of godliness while at the same time denying the lordship of Christ. 2 Timothy 3:5. Notice, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. See, if you're not in the Word's not in you, and you do not know the standard measure of God, and you cannot measure who's true and false. And if you refuse to know the Lord by getting in His Word yourself and studying to show yourself proven unto God a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth, you will be deceived just as sure as you're hearing my voice. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12 tells us if we don't have the love of the truth, God Himself is going to turn us over to a spirit of delusion so that we might all be damned. 2 Thessalonians 2. Let me ask you something. Travis, do I love the Lord if I can spend 10 hours a week watching TV and about 30 minutes reading His Word? I don't think so. If you love me, keep my commandments. I don't want to be legalistic, but listen, if you love the Lord, you want to know Him and you know how to draw near to Him, you got a Bible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 10, and with all deceivableness, speaking of the Antichrist, by the way, the Antichrist is coming on the scene as many times we try to identify who he is, etc. We know that. There's a definite article embodiment of one man who's going to embody all of what Satan desires for the world right before the end. But you know, the greatest Antichrist is within. Antichrist means in place of Christ. And if we're not under the lordship of Jesus, we have not cried out, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. You must increase. I must decrease. If we're not crying out for more of you and less of me, then we don't know him. We're not following him, and we've got the Antichrist within. We've got to unseat him by allowing and deciding that our love for God is going to be greater than our love for self and the things of this fleeting world. If any man love this world or the things of this world, the love of the Father is not in him. 2 Thessalonians 2:10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because, now who are those that are perishing? Because they what? What does it say, verse 10? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Because they did not love the truth, right? That they might be damned. Those who don't love the truth are going to be damned. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't give us his scriptures as something novelty. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, why are they going to perish? Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You can only be saved by the true original gospel of Jesus Christ. For this cause, for the cause that they would not love the truth. God shall send them. Who is going to send them strong delusion? God himself is going to send them strong delusion, give them just what they want, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, eternal damnation, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
We're talking about how much you might look at TV versus how much you might study the Word. Lightness and darkness, they separate themselves. And maybe I'm not making a real plain and clear analogy, but I want to try to. The church, through my lifetime in general, has not given people what they need to sustain life. So because you're not getting what you need to sustain life in certain areas or certain places, you go to those things, whether it's your job. For some people, television is an escape. And I think entertainment is an escapism from life. And God has not called us to entertain. But what I'm saying is, wherever you find relief, and believe me, we all need relief from the pressures of this world, this age. Life is a struggle. And it's not long, but from the cradle to the grave, it's a struggle for all of us. So whether it's in money, entertainment, you'll find very unique two people come together, especially if you take the analogy of when they're young, and they are so enthralled in one another. They get married, you give them a handful of years, the guy goes hunting and the wife sits at home, or the man comes home and the wife stays. I mean, you can take all kind of analogies, but they lose their love, their luster. Maybe I don't want to use the word love as we use it today, but they use the joy and they go to where the joy. If you are complete in Christ, then when you're in stocks and bonds, you know what you're going to do? You're going to pray. You're going to sing. You're going to call out to God. You're going to rejoice in God. And it's not a joy that you're looking for. It's a peace that you're looking for. And that peace brings fulfillment. It brings satisfaction. Truly can only be found in Christ. But if your eyes have been blind, then you're going to seek that in all other avenues.
That's good. And the only way to have peace is to have the Prince of Peace. He is the one we elevate and adore. The Lord Jesus told Ephesian church. Now, remember, we just read Paul's address to the church of Ephesus, the elders. Now, let's look in Revelation 2, the first of the seven churches that Jesus addresses, and we see a little glimpse. Now, notice we're looking at the same church that Paul preached to and told them that there were going to be grievous wolves that entered in among them that was going to draw away some of those precious sheep that Jesus died to save, to be devoured by wolves and ultimately damned. That same church that Paul ended by commending them to God Himself and the Word of God. So you can know the Word of God without knowing the God of the Word. The Pharisees did. John 5:39, Jesus said to the Pharisees, Jesus didn't have a whole lot of nice things to say to the Pharisees, did he? John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus said, search the Scriptures. He did say search the Scriptures. He tells the Pharisees, you think that in them you have eternal life, but they knew the letter of the law. But they are they which testify of me, but you won't come to me. You can know the Word of God. There's a lot of people in the pulpits that know the Word of God, but they haven't borne their hearts bare and naked before God Himself. God is not going to stop short and will not accept anything short of the affections of your heart being rendered to Him. Set your affections. God wants spontaneous love, like was spoken about earlier, between a husband and a wife. That's a picture of Christ in the church. Not a hard... We need to cry out, every one of us, that the Lord would break our hearts, that He would pour fresh water on our heart. That starts with me. That God would give me a heart of flesh and take away the stony heart, right? We better know the Lord and know that He knows us, because we can deceive ourselves. Remember, Jesus said that there were going to be many who did all kinds of ministry and say unto Him on that day, Lord, Lord, call Him Lord. They thought they knew Him. Did we not prophesy? We moved in all the spiritual gifts. That represents all nine of them. We cast out devils. We had the power of Your name to cast out devils. We did many wonderful works. That includes every type of ministry work being done. And Jesus is going to say to them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Going to hell. Did all that ministry, going to hell in a handbasket. Jesus is speaking, it sure is, in terms of false prophets. Verse 15 in the same chapter, starting with us, right?
Including me on the... In the warning.
Starts with us.
I worked in church and I did the plate and I went and visited people and I helped people sit down. I served on the board and administrative, and I was a Hebrew. He's going to say, you know, he could say to me, I don't know you.
You were a good Nicodemus, weren't you?
I mean, that speaks to all of us.
It sure does. Jesus said in verse 15 of Matthew 7, beware of false prophets. How do they come to you? They come to you in sheep's clothing. They're cloaked. They look. They got a seminary degree. They got a three-piece suit. They've set up their building on the corner. They've got so many people going there. They smile. They're wolves in sheep's clothing if they're not preaching the original gospel, which includes the cross at the center of it.
Revelation 2 here.
Jesus says, I hate something. These letters are in red, Revelation 2. Now, he's not saying I love this. He's saying I hate this. But he says, but this that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. That word Nicolaitans, if you separate it, Nico means conquer. Laiton means laity. These are these preachers that conquer the laity, that dominate the church, that stand up on a stage in the spotlight and everybody else is sitting out in the dark and they're premier over the laity. And this Jesus hates. We're all to be participants.
Jesus said he hates the deeds and the doctrines of Nicolaitans. And Brother Travis, this has been on my heart. I want to say this. Somebody needs to hear this. We need to come out of the deception of thinking we have to have some kind of so-called covering pastor. It's good to have a good pastor and good people to fellowship with, but that has nothing to do with what kind of building or what kind of piece of wood somebody stands behind on Sunday morning. We're to be submitted one to another in the fear of God. And to think that you have to have some pastor can be a deception in itself, because you're willing to go submit yourself to anybody who calls himself a pastor. The way they deceive people piggybacking on what you said, Brother Travis, it says this, there's a little nugget for you. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. 2 Peter 2:19, when a false prophet or false teacher, that's exactly specifically who he's speaking about in 2 Peter as he names in verse 1, when they overcome you with a lie, they bring you into bondage through that lie. Notice Revelation, back to Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, this same Ephesian church that we read about in Acts 20:20-32 that Paul addressed. Paul said he declared unto them, disclosed the full counsel of God. He endeavored and he cried with tears for 3 years, day and night, because he knew that grievous wolves, it was definitive, were going to enter in among them and rise up from their midst and deceive some of the sheep of God and draw them away from the Lord, ultimately to be damned. This is the same church unto the angel of the church at Ephesus. Right, Jesus says, Revelation 2:1, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them that are evil. He's commending them here. And thou hast tried them which say, they tested them, the Ephesian church, they were good Bereans. They tested people against the word of God to see whether or not they were true or false. Acts 17:11, that's what every true disciple is to do. Has tried them which say they are apostles. How many people have ever received a business card from somebody walking around saying they're an apostle? Immediately you know they're false, because he that is greatest among you will be servant of all. Don't call any man father. That shouldn't be among the body of Christ. People say, what do you do? I said, I'm a servant. Hopefully I'm a servant by the grace of God. Wherever I am, whatever it needs to be done. Forget all these titles. You're all brethren, Jesus said, Matthew 23:10-12. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. So they were able to discern true and false teachers, right? And apostles. He commends them for that. And has borne and has patience. And for my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. Talking about affections of our hearts. The book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 13. Rend your heart and not your garments. Jeremiah 30, verse 21. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? Let me ask you something. Is your heart engaged? In your prayer time, Jesus didn't say if you pray, he said when you pray. Every true disciple of Jesus has a time of prayer. And if you're going to follow Christ, you'll rise up a great while before day and get alone with God. Mark 1:35, write that down. Matthew 6:6. Every true disciple should have a time with God that's first. Seek ye what? First, not second. Oswald Chambers said, if in your first waking moments you do not seek the Lord, you're going to work on a wrong level all day long. Has anybody else found that? I tell you what, you get alone with Jesus one morning in a real way, rending your heart, crying out to Him, you're going to be ruined in a good way, because you'll never want to live another day without His presence first and foremost in your life. The scripture says, for who is this that engaged his heart, not his mind, his heart, to approach unto me? Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. First thing he mentioned, mind, soul, strength, right? Everything that he gave you is to be his. Who is this that stirs up himself to seek the Lord? Isaiah 64:7. Stir yourself up to seek the Lord. You need some specifics? Mark 1:35. Follow Jesus. Do you truly follow him? Follow Jesus. He rose up a great while before day and entered into a solitary place, and there he prayed. He sought the Father. Matthew 6:6, Jesus is teaching us. He says, but thou, when thou prayest, not if you pray, but when you pray, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, seal yourself off from the world, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. God is not available to the casual seeker. You got to enter into the secret place and seek him who is in secret, and then he will reward you openly. He that dwelleth in the secret place, there it is again, Psalm 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. How do you do that? You enter in your prayer closet. Doesn't have to be a literal closet, by the way. Just get alone with God is what he's saying. Find that place physically, deliberately going to do it, and enter into the secret place of the Lord.
You're going real fast, and there's a couple of things that you hit on most people won't preach about. Can you emphasize about previous stated giving over to delusions? Because preachers aren't going to preach that part.
Good point,
Sean. Giving over to delusions, the casual seeking, what you just said, because I've never heard of that before either. Actually, I heard otherwise, you can pray to God and be casual as much as you want. emphasize that.
Thank you, brother. On the website, safeguardyoursoul.com, we have an article called At His Feet. It goes into depth with this thing about your life in Christ, your prayer life. Every believer should have a life of prayer. Every believer, find every verse in the Bible on prayer and do a topical study on prayer. Prayer, in its general sense and most important sense, Brother Al, is about communing with God. It's not just about asking Him for what you need. When's the last time you raised your hands and said, Lord, in your heart, and said, Lord, I love you. I love you. Strip me of anything that hinders my relationship with you and from knowing you. Distill it. Get it out of the way, Jesus. I beg you, Lord. Ask and you shall receive. It's just that simple. You have not because you ask not. You think God's going to answer that prayer? Right away. The Lord loves you. And He says, if you seek Him, He will be found of you. God's not going to withhold Himself, but you got to seek Him the way He prescribed in His Word, not your way. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. See, it's a beautiful thing. David said this, one thing have I desired of the Lord. I like that. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after. I'll pursue it. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and in His presence and to behold His beauty. By the way, the house of the Lord is not your little Sunday church building that you go into. I always get amused, if not angered, when I walk into a church building and the pastor says, aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Brother, I don't need you and your little building program to be in the house of the Lord because I live in His presence, as every true disciple does. They don't have to come to your little temple to worship you to be in His house. We live in His house where two or more are gathered. You're at Starbucks with a brother or sister fellowshipping. Jesus is there. I got news for you. It's time that we get rid of the false religious teaching that we've been taught. See, what happens is the deceiver wants to pigeonhole you into his little program. He wants to pigeonhole all your thinking to center around his little program. Somebody wrote a book I saw recently called The Tithe That Binds. They want to bind you to them, not Jesus. That's what a deceiver does, according to Colossians 2. 18 and 19. They don't uphold Jesus, the nail-scarred, risen Savior. They uphold their ministry and their little program. Brother Travis, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. So if I'm giving to a man all the time, feeding into his little program, my heart's being bound with him. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Listen, if a brother or sister has need, we need to take care of them. And if that's all the money we got and we don't have it to give anywhere else, let it be. Because unfortunately, the local churches as they are now in apostasy are not getting the money to the people. Unfortunately, in a lot of cases they live in. Let's close the remarks as far as the scripture goes with, may God bless every one of us to know Him. Amen. Revelation 2, 4, and 5. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, even though they could discern false apostles. Thou hast left thy first love. Have you left your first love? I got news for you that you can call on the Lord right now and be renewed and refreshed in His presence. The whole reason why Jesus came, He told us, John 17, 3, this is life eternal. It's the whole reason for eternal life, whole reason why I came, that they might know thee, the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. When's the last time you heard your pastor say that verse? If you haven't, you need to check it out and might want to run for your life if he's not going to repent. The whole goal of Paul's life was what? That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. That was the goal of Paul's life, Philippians 3:10.
Brother, the word of God is a crushing hammer. And I know I'm broken by today, and I needed to be. But the word repentance,
crying out to God to begin anew and to turn away from what we've been doing in the past and turn toward God and cry out to Him, ask Him to strip us and break us, like you said. Mm-hmm. For the listener that's broken by this message because they realize their life is just not what it needs to be with mm-hmm. the Lord, maybe they don't know Him like you've described, although they're attending church and have been saved. What do you have to say to that person?
I would answer that with Hosea chapter 14, verse 1. It says, return to the Lord. We don't need to complicate the word repentance. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest in your precious soul. Listen, go over to Hosea chapter 14, verse 1. Let's answer. That's a beautiful question, Brother Travis. O Israel, my people, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. See, that's how we fall, through sin and not putting God first in our lives. The first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me. Then he says in verse 2, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity. God, remove all the sin from my life. Everything that hinders me, right? From knowing you, I love you, Jesus, and I want to love you more than myself. You must increase and I must decrease. And receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. We'll render the fruit of our lives will be unto you. And then he says in verse 4, I will heal their backslidings. In Jeremiah 31:3, he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now, if you're listening right now and you want to make your life right with God and you want to pray these words from your heart, I'm going to lead you in a little bit of a model prayer for about 30 seconds. So I want you to pull over if you're driving or whatever you need to do to get alone with God and say these words out loud from your own mouth, but from the depth of your heart. God is going to hear you, even if it's the first time you've ever called on the Lord. Today is a day of salvation. If you're backslidden, you need to be saved at least as much as somebody that's never been saved, because you're going to the same hell as they are. And if you don't get your life right with God, I want you to say this from your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, at this moment, right now, if never before, I ask you to wash me by your blood, Jesus. I acknowledge that in a myriad of ways, in thought, word, and deed, I have sinned against you. You said that you're holy, holy, holy. Make me clean, Jesus. I lift my hands, my heart, my life into your hands. Take over my whole life, Jesus. I'm all yours, and you're all mine. Into your hands, Father, I commend, I submit, I release my whole being. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.